we're going to see some stuff. We're starting to move into some even harder wrath of God. God authorized this finale of his wrath judgments in the Great Tribulation with these final bowl judgments. And we're going to be looking at this as we look at Revelation 16, 1 through 16. So my outline is not going to be anything fancy. It's just going to be direct about what's going on. So we come to that first verse, and that's the first judgment bowl. Look at verses 1 and 2. Then I heard a loud voice from heaven telling the seven angels, go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God. So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and harmful and painful sores came upon the people who bore the marks of the beast and worshipped its image. So God will unleash this destructive wrath arsenal, and it will be aimed at this earth and those who live on it and in it. And there'll be no relief. There'll be no escape. The bowl wrath judgments will be poured out in rapid fire sequence. There's no lapse between them. In fact, some of this may be simultaneous action. We're in the final days of the tribulation, and the wrath will be nonstop. And the bowl wrath judgments are poured out on unbelieving, unrepentant people who are aligned with Satan. And the target of this wrath is not the sin, it is the sinner. And verse 1 says here, I heard a loud voice from heaven. Now we know that a voice in the temple is in fact the voice of God. Isaiah 66:6 says, a voice of uproar from the city, a voice from the temple, the voice of the Lord who is rendering recompense to his enemies. So we learn from Revelation 15:8 that the glory of God was in the temple. So the voice coming from the temple has to be the voice of God. And that voice commands the seven angels to go and pour out the wrath of God on the earth. The bowls are filled with the wrath of God, and the angels are ordered to pour them out here. So we want to look at these. And first of all, there's the judgment of boils. These sores, it's a very painful boil, and all who receive the mark of the beast, all surviving believers, will be protected and exempt from this wrath judgment. The word used here to describe the same word used in the Septuagint in Exodus, in which God sent this plague against the Egyptians. This judgment is one of boils or sores that are loathsome and malignant. The word boil or sore is a word that describes an ulcer or wound. It's loathsome. It's a word that refers to something harmful that makes you sick. The word malignant is a word that refers to something very painful. And by the time we get to verses 10 and 11, these sores do not disappear. No medicine can cure this, and the painful sick effects that they're going to linger on. And it's ironic, the one thing that the people in the tribulation thought would save them, receiving that mark of the beast, is the thing that's going to condemn them. They thought this mark would be the key to survival. It's the key to their destruction. And then we move from there to the second judgment bowl. And we look at verse 3. The second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse, and every living thing died that was in the sea. So there are predictions in Scripture that predict a major judgment of God against the earth. There are times when most have lost track of how dependent they are on God. People get bills from the electric company, a gas company, a water company, but what most people don't realize is the light, the electric, the gas, and the water, they come from God, not that company. So when God decides to shut down the system, it's his system. And so that second bowl judgment is a terrible judgment against the sea. Now the seas of the world all have shorelines in Gentile nations. What God does here is to cause the sea to become blood, just as he did with the Nile River in Exodus. And this type of judgment already occurred previously in Revelation 8:8, and in that judgment a third of the ocean water was affected. That was trumpet judgment number 2. We may assume that what happens here is the remaining ocean water is affected by this judgment, and the end result is massive death. And the judgment will finish off the other two-thirds of the ocean water, and there'll be massive, devastating judgment. And what's stated here in verse 3, every living thing in the sea died. Millions and millions of sea life will die. It will float to the surface, and there's going to be a horrible stench and disease. And then there's a third judgment bowl, and that's a judgment against the fresh water. Look at verses 4 through 7. The third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. And I heard the angel in charge of the water say, "Just are you, O Holy One, who is and who was, for you brought these judgments, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink, is what they deserve." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, Lord God, the Almighty, true and just are your judgments." And so there's a key angel in charge of fresh water supplies all over the world. And this is God's superintendent of the fresh water department. Angels are obviously involved in more than just the things we realize. And one of those things is fresh water. And we clearly revealed in heaven that God's sovereign God who creates springs and fresh waters. And when God questioned Job to show him how little he knew, he quizzed him on the fact that he could not even enter the fresh water springs of the sea. What God is doing here is to turn the fresh water into blood. He did that in trumpet judgment 3. He did that to the third of the fresh water. Now he'll do it to the rest of the fresh water. And during this time, those who are faithful to God will be provided for by God, just as in Moses' day, when God called fresh water to come out of the rock, so he will also provide water for his people. And verse 5 makes it clear that these judgments are coming from a righteous and holy God. And these wrath judgments are righteous and holy as God is himself. And you see that because this is the judgment that God is giving. It's critical. The wrath judgment is right because you judge these things. The wrath judgments of the Great Tribulation are all righteous judgments and holy judgments because they are God's judgments. And so whatever God does, whatever God permits, whatever God decides is right and holy because he does it. And if a person doesn't agree with him, it's not the person who is right and holy, it's God who is right and holy. And the common opinion among most people is that God must love everyone and tolerate anything. That's the kind of God most people want, but that's not the kind of God the Bible reveals him to be. He's not a guy who God who governs by the way we think or want. He governs what's right and holy. And because this is a judgment against God who killed the saints and the prophets. So he keeps records. He knows. He's accurate. And it's a judgment that these people deserve. This world has mocked. And it's rejected. And it's time. And so they refuse the living water of life, who is Jesus Christ. It's fitting that he shuts off the fresh water supply. And so apparently the moment God does this, there will be heavenly praise. Your judgments are right. You're the Lord, you're God, you're almighty, you're true, you're righteous, and your judgments are your judgments. And then number 4, we see the fourth judgment bowl. Look at verses 8 and 9. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun. And it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they cursed the name of God who had power over these plagues. They did not repent and give him glory. So we saw earlier in the fourth trumpet judgment that there had already been a reduction of light. But what this bowl judgment does is bring about the serious intensification of heat. And this will be global warming. And in this bowl judgment, God will use his son to specifically scorch men. It'll be a judgment against men of ferocious, unbearable, burning heat. And there'll be a very intense burn level of burning and scorch that will come directly from the sun. Keep in our minds the fact that the ocean has been turned to blood and the fresh water has also been turned to blood that will make this judgment even more horrible. Men will be burning up and there'll be no water they can get to quench the thirst. Shade trees will be gone. Because there's no water to maintain leaves, God will turn the entire world into a burning hot desert. This will literally be a time when if people say, "My life is hell on earth," they'll actually be like hell. So we see this prediction, we see this calling that will happen. And when God unleashes it, there'll be reactions of the people on earth. They'll blaspheme God. They won't blaspheme or speak against Satan or the Antichrist or the false prophet. Those are the ones that led him into judgment. They're going to blaspheme God. And they know this judgment is coming directly from him, and yet they refuse to honor him. And then they won't repent. These people refuse to change their minds and turn to God. They're covered with boils and sores. They're eating away their flesh. They're baking in the hot sun. Instead of crying out to God for mercy, they will not repent. So it's possible for someone to actually know these things are coming from God. Instead of turning to God, they blaspheme God and refuse to repent. And then we see the fifth judgment, verses 10 and 11. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom was plunged into darkness. People gnawed their tongues in anguish and cursed the God of heaven for their pain and sores. They did not repent of their deeds. Multiple passages in Scripture that predict there will be very unusual darkness. It specifically stated that this bowl judgment is aimed at the throne of the beast. People comprised his kingdom. Some of these judgments are specifically aimed at those who followed Satan. They've got the people that are smitten with boils and sores. All the drinking water is gone. All the people are burning up. All of the light disappears. People are literally in darkness, and there's so much burning pain that the text says they're gnawing their tongues. It's a prelude to hell. They're burning in pain. They have no relief. And yet we read they blaspheme God, and they would not repent of their evil. So the threat of this ferocious judgment doesn't change their hearts. Most people, when they're faced with the threat of burning hell, will not repent. If men are not won by grace, they're never won. And then we see the judgment, the sixth bowl judgment here in verse 12, as a judgment against Euphrates and even beyond that. Look at verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. As I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are demonic spirits performing signs, who go abroad to the kings of the whole world to assemble them for battle on the great day of God the Almighty. And behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may not go about naked and be seen exposed. And they assembled them at the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. So the sixth trumpet unites hostile eastern forces. Little room for doubt that it's a literal prediction of what will happen to the Euphrates River. In Joel 3:2, it's predicted that God is going to bring all nations into Palestine for his judgment. And the purpose of drying out the rivers at this point is to make it easy for the eastern nations and political powers to come to Israel so that Jesus Christ may destroy them. The mention of the kings of the east suggests that there's a unity among eastern political powers, China, Japan, India, North Korea. And we see that God is lining it all up. We come to these next verses, and it speaks of the wrath as it continues. We see verse 13 shows a satanic trinity in that. All three are mentioned. Dragon, who is Satan, the beast, who is the Antichrist, and the false prophet, are all in this. They're all unclean. What they say is unclean. What they do is unclean. And they speak evil. They're being used by God for his sovereign purposes in destruction. God will cause them to destroy themselves. Satan knows he's waging war against the Almighty of God. But during those two words together, we have as a description of God that says he is the most powerful being in existence in all possible ways, in all possible times, and in every event and situation, who has complete dominant control. There's no being more powerful than God at any time or in any circumstance. And so people who are satanic and demonic do not think rationally or realistically or truthfully. They think emotionally, they think irrationally, they think fictitiously. And so we have this war that's on the great day of our God. And this is closely associated with the coming of Christ because of what is stated in verse 15. The word behold means see this and look at this. I am coming. It's the present tense, middle voice, indicative mood. It's the fact that Jesus is coming, the fact that he himself will be coming, the fact that the futuristic event will happen in real present time. He's coming as a thief, and that point must be kept in context. When Jesus says he'll come like a thief, It's near the end of the Great Tribulation. It has nothing to do with the church because the church is not in the Great Tribulation. So John used this image earlier in the church age. It is a completely different meaning than it does here, although it did have to do with negative judgment. And the warning of coming a thief in Revelation 3 has nothing to do with what is discussed here in the tribulation. We who are believers in the church age are not looking for Christ to come like a thief. What we are looking for is the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ at the rapture. Paul said, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So he's not going to come as a thief. We're looking for him to come in the glory and the clouds to be caught up with him. The Apostle Paul used the same imagery concerning Jesus Christ coming in the Great Tribulation as a thief. Paul wanted those believers to understand the day of the Lord that features Jesus Christ coming like a thief was not something they needed to worry about because they had not been appointed to wrath. Jesus says he's coming as a thief. What he means is that no one will expect him to return, and when he does return, there'll be death, there'll be destruction, there'll be judgment. So blessed is the one who stays awake, and blessed is the one who keeps his clothes. This is that time of Armageddon. This word harm means destruction. Geddon means army. Combined, the Hebrew word means destruction or slaughter of an army. And where is it located? The Old Testament position, the location of this place is Megiddo. And Megiddo is a proper noun used for both city and valley. It was a place of some great Old Testament battles. C.I. Schofield observed this was a place of Deborah's victory, Gideon's victory, Saul's defeat, and be the place of the last great battle against God. Megiddo is located east of the Jordan River, in the northeast portion of the Promised Land. And so we have this valley that's located about 50 miles north of Jerusalem. The valley is approximately 14 miles wide and 20 miles long. Napoleon called it the most natural battlefield of the whole earth. So this world does not realize how dangerous Satan and his demons are. The kings of the whole world are going to go down at this slaughter. Zechariah 12, 11 through 14, we get information about how this will affect Israel. What ultimately will happen here is described in Revelation 19, 17 through 21. But no matter what is going on in the world, it's all under the umbrella of the Almighty God. And he's the one with whom God or the people need to be concerned, because he in the end is the one who will win.